Hare Krishna. On behalf of Giriraj Maharaj and Burijan Prabhu, I would like to warmly welcome you for this last session of the Vashana retreat. And I guess I get a garland here.
Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
It is a very important session. I can see there's a devotee coming still with further questions because we will immediately dive into answering any questions. I believe this session is important because the questions which devotees have put in the basket are questions which they have put during this retreat. In other words, while they made the same experiences which everyone else made. So their questions come from that common ground, that is our mutual experience during the Vashana retreat 2013. And usually these questions are relevant not only to the one who is asking them, but to those who went with him or her through this retreat. And therefore, some sense will come out. Now, the three of us here will give our best to answer the questions which are there to the best of our understanding and realization, and also we will try to be brief and speak, be eloquent by being concise and pregnant with meaning. Our answers should be like, we will attempt to be like that. So I guess we will start immediately. Prashanta will be with us. She will guide us through this program. Maybe you can also draw the questions because you are very impartial. And then we will see which one of the three of us will answer the questions. So I request you to be very attentive so that we can have an atmosphere bristling with presence and attention, and can make it very relevant. So here is the first question.
All right. It's a strange question. Dear Sachinandan Swami, how many rounds did you yesterday chant at the Akadamba?
I chanted 63 rounds and then finished the last round in my room. Yes, we can be a little personal. Why not?
Whether in the spiritual world, every soul, jiva, has its own Radha and Krishna.
Yeah. Yes and no. Next question.
Can you elaborate, please, on the no? The yes is clear, but the no?
Because Ekala, Ishwara, Krishna are Sabhavritta. There is one Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. So from the tattva point of view, from the philosophical point of view, no, I'm just trying to adjust this. From the philosophical point of view, there's one Krishna. And everyone feels that one Krishna is only mine. And that's from the rasa point of view, from the point of view of the personal exchanges of love. So when Krishna is in Dwarka, in each of his different palaces, all the queens see that Krishna is with them. Prabhu, could you put the volume down some, please? All the queens see that Krishna is with them, and they think, each one of them thinks, I have Krishna in my hand. My Krishna, and he's most attached to me. Each of the cowherd boys, when Krishna was in the center, when they were taking lunch, Krishna was looking at everyone, and each of the boys thought, Krishna is looking at me. My Krishna is looking at me. And also we criticize the wrong conception of I and mine as I am my body and everything that I see is mine. But we glorify the correct conception of I and mine, that I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. Is that okay?
Wonderful, wonderful.
Next question. There are 9 processes of devotional service. Of course, hearing and chanting is most important. Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also emphasized deity worship. What percentage of available time should be spent on hearing and chanting Harinam, and what percent on deity worship?
Well, as the question rightly said, chanting and hearing are the most important. And Srila Jiva Goswami says that other processes, such as deity worship, should be preceded and followed by chanting and hearing, and as possible, accompanied by chanting and hearing. That said, each devotee has his or her own personal taste. And Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita in particular emphasizes that activity for which the devotee has the most taste is the best for that devotee. So as long as you have enough chanting and hearing, if you have a special inclination to deity worship, you can do more or less according to the circumstances. But I don't know if it's completely accurate to say that Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami emphasized deity worship over other processes. I mean, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and, of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita, following Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, mentions 5 processes as being especially potent. Sadhu Sangha, associating with advanced devotees, Namakirtana, chanting the holy name, Bhagavat Shravana, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and worshiping the deity with faith and veneration, and living in the holy Dham, Vrindavan. I would say they're all good, and you know, as long as you do the basic hearing and chanting, prescribed number of rounds and reading of Srila Prabhupada's books, you can adjust the other proportions. Hare Krishna.
I am very grateful from my heart for what grateful. You all, very grateful from my heart for all what you have taught us to help us transform our consciousness. Summarizing, I had attended Japa retreats and Govardhan retreat some years ago, and after that I felt very enlivened. But after some time, I went through a diseased condition of my spiritual life.
I went through what?
A diseased condition of my spiritual life. And I gave priority to other things than my spiritual life. And I completely lost taste. So here I gained taste again. My fear here is that it may happen again. How can this be avoided? How can I not again fall back with a lack of taste? I found the taste,
yes,
and then I lost it. I came back here, I found it again. How can I maintain it?
Mm-hmm. Is the question clear to you? I will talk about this in great detail in my last address to all of you, that which is called Taking the Retreat Home. But for now, I would like to say to you, this is a common problem, that we become inspired and our motivation rises very high. But then, when we go back to the places from which we come and enter the same environment from which we have come from, our inspiration and motivation sometimes goes down. And this is there is a reason. And to understand it, you will have to concentrate a little bit. See, we as devotees have a very high idealistic conception. We want to go back home, back to Godhead. We want to conquer our senses and mind. We want to chant so much. But because we are still human beings who are not yet ablaze with glowing prema, with a lot of prema, our strength of will is limited. So this is what you have: a high motivation and a limited willpower to deal with your goals. This, do we say divergence in English? This difference, high motivation and just little willpower is the reason for downfall, for not being able to follow our ideal, and for suffering internal guilt, and so on and so forth. Am I clear? Can you understand what I say? We are human beings. Our willpower is not as strong as our these motivation and ideals, which we totally subscribe to. So if you wish to be successful when you leave the retreat, don't try to do too many things. Don't try to spread yourself on too many goals. I have here an Archman pot. In theory, at least. Where it's here. See, there's limited water in this Archman pot. Now, if I give this water to too many plants, none of the plants will grow. But if I give it to one plant, that will grow very nicely. So, when you leave this retreat situation, don't try to do too many goals which are too high. Chanting every Ekadasi 64 rounds, you know, never eating chocolate, although the GBC allowed it. You know, not seeing any movie, and just reading every day 1.5 hours in Srila Prabhupada's books and so on. Don't spread your power on too many projects. Instead, give yourself on one project, like for instance, increasing the quality of your chanting, getting up a little bit earlier to make sure that you get some good rounds done before you go out and do the things which you are obliged to do at this stage of your life. No? Just avoid the mistake that you come like this, glowing from the retreat, and then you try to do all the things you learned at home, and that's not possible, because you are what you are, an advancing devotee, and so on. One or two things try to develop. This is very important. Is it clear for you? Please remember this. If you forget it, think of the Archman pot and Burijan Prabhu's hand. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Next question. Is the spiritual master ever wrong in what he says?
He is not an encyclopedia. Prabhupada once answered a question after a class when someone asked him some little detail about something completely different from what he spoke about. And so Prabhupada said, the spiritual master is not an encyclopedia. His knowing everything means, as I've heard Srila Prabhupada say, it doesn't mean he knows everything in the sense of how many windows are on the tallest building in Dubai, and how to take apart the hardware on a computer and put it all back together again. It means he knows Krishna. So that knowing of Krishna means that he knows the essence of things. And when and we seek his guidance so that we also know the essence of things. So is he ever wrong? So if he's talking about as a conversation may lead, he's talking about, look at all the windows on this big, big building, and there's so many of this and that and this and that. Then we have to just understand the essence of what he's saying, and that is the essence is going to be to bring us to Krishna. And there may be a detail that is not exactly correct. But I also heard Prabhupada say that that why should you find fault? Why should you say, oh, that's not correct, or that's not correct? Why find fault, but rather see the glory in who he is and how he presented things? That's how I would answer it. Could you add something to that?
My perspective is similar to yours, that what is the ultimate criterion for right and wrong? To me, the ultimate is what Krishna thinks, whether Krishna is pleased. And if the spiritual master is sent percent motivated with the desire to please Krishna. Even if what he says from a certain point of view might be wrong. And again, I qualify that from a certain point of view. But because ultimately, whatever he thinks and says and does is for Krishna's pleasure, to spread Krishna's glories. And because Krishna is pleased by that effort, how could we say it's wrong?
Very nice.
Very nice.
I also heard when Prabhupada translates his books and writes his commentaries, where there's not a literal placing of Krishna's name, for example, there's the verse may say the absolute truth, and Prabhupada will translate it as Krishna directly. So sometimes scholarly persons will say this isn't an accurate translation, which would say that it's in some senses wrong. But then we read how Devananda Pandit, Chaitanya Bhagavat, he goes to Mahaprabhu and he asks Mahaprabhu, how should I explain the Srimad Bhagavatam? And Mahaprabhu's answer, in every line, in every word, you should see Krishna and explain Krishna. So from, as Maharaj said, from the scholarly point of view, Krishna isn't there. But from the point of view of Krishna, the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where is it that Krishna isn't? So who is right? The scholars or those who see Krishna in everything following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So I especially appreciate how you said, you put quotation marks around, it seems wrong, quote, as if it's wrong, but the perspective is what is pleasing to Krishna. So, is that all right?
When I am in solitude and silence, I gain great ecstatic joy from bringing my senses to a point of focus upon the state of loving communion with the Lord. I also achieve this state of reciprocal loving communion when I make music for Krishna. However, when kirtan in the temple room gets loud, my ears hurt, my senses withdraw, my focus is lost, and I feel more distant from the Lord. Is there a quiet place in this society of Krishna consciousness for me? Is there such a place in which my devotion can be nourished? Are there other devotees in this position? Is it just that there is something wrong with me which needs fixing? I want to come in, but it is too loud.
In a very advanced stage, one appreciates the holy name of Krishna in any circumstances. But in a less advanced stage, the pleasing musical presentation makes it easier for us. And in our stage, we should generally do what we need to do for our advancement in our present stage, while keeping in mind that there is a more advanced stage that I can aspire for. But there are many devotees who feel the same way. And, ISKCON is a very big society. And there would be no harm at all in looking for devotees who have the same taste in the musical presentation of kirtan and relishing kirtan in their association.
Would you like to add to that?
I think Yuriraj Maharaj has covered the scope of this question. There's definitely place for you with this more quiet or attraction to more quiet and solitude or peaceful kirtan. But you should also acknowledge that, you know, Mahaprabhu's times, it's a Ratha Yatra. My God, you know, how many Madangas? Millions of Madangas, millions of cartels. Dancing, crying, fainting, rolling on the ground, ecstasy pure, sheer madness in its highest form. That is also there. What in particular in kirtan, I tend to be the same as you, as strange as it may sound, but I always believe the kirtan should be sweet and soft and slow. Not the rhythm shouldn't be, the rhythm should be slow, so that we can enter with our tender feelings and with everything into the, and meet the holy name. And once that meeting has taken place, the meeting of the soul with Krishna in the form of his holy name, then there is scope for an expression where all the senses are participating. You dance, you jump, you scream at times, and so on. And that comes from a place where you have met, where you have contacted Krishna. But if you have a kirtan, where you immediately fast and it immediately becomes a muscular challenge to keep the rhythm, and immediately then you may only contact the rhythm and the melody and not Krishna. So usually I have heard this, Prabhupada said this also. Mukunda Maharaj writes about this in Miracles in Second Avenue. Kirtans in the beginning could be slow, soft, the instruments not overwhelming loud. Nowadays in ISKCON you see everyone has these very, very good earplugs. And you know, the kirtan starts and about 50 people, boom, put the earplugs in. It is so funny and would be a wonderful theme for a comical movie, you know. Wonderful theme. That is what develops, you know, social trends in a big movement. No, there is an ample place for you. But please also know, like Giriraj Maharaj said so nicely, that there comes a stage where you meet Krishna and some of that exuberance will come. Also, Giriraj Maharaj made a very subtle point. It is to be found actually in Madhurya Kadambini, where Vishwanath Chakravarti speaks about two types of taste: the taste of the beginner and the taste of the advanced devotee. The beginner is dependent on pleasing circumstances, must be excellent according to his taste. The advanced devotee just sees Krishna and in a kirtan and is immediately overtaken with symptoms of ecstasy. It's just like when you are a little diseased, and someone asked you, would you like to take prasadam? And you say, yes, but what do they serve? And the answer is khichdi. And you say, no. But say the answer is something more pleasing, something more cultivated than khichdi. Let us say Italian made pizza. And you say, and upon your question, said pizza, pizza? Of course I come. So that is because you're still a little, you're not really hungry. When you are really hungry, you don't mind khichdi or pizza, whatever takes care of the hunger. So when you are not yet so eager in your spiritual life, then you may desire the pizza in the kirtan, the pizza kirtan. That is something which is excellently cooked with a lot of music, or let us
cheese.
Say with cheese, yes, and or some solid or whatever fits your taste. Huh? At a higher stage, you just go for the essence, Krishna, Krishna, like this. But please, you will be gladdened to hear a Bhujam Prabhu has for a long time said, we must give the devotees who have this a retreat center here in Vrindavan, where they can have their room, close the room, be and read Prabhupada's book while looking contemplatively at Giriraj. And as you will hear today, this dream of Bhujam Prabhu is now coming true. Hare Krishna. And you can come and lock yourself in the room. There's an attached bathroom for you. And look at the side, and there will be no loud kirtan shaking your walls. there will be sometimes there may be in the temple a little distant from your room a loud a dancing kirtan.
A question for Bhurijan Prabhu. Thank you very much for deepening our faith in the holy name. How does one understand that his relationship with Nama Prabhu has become strong? What are the symptoms?
One prime symptom is that there is an obvious one, that there's an attraction as opposed to an aversion when an opportunity comes to chant Krishna's names. Once we ask the devotees, and you can all do this right now mentally inside, answer the question, how do I know, or what symptom do I judge whether or not I am chanting good japa? So you can ask yourself that question. How do you know whether you are chanting good japa or not? And quite a few devotees, and myself included, when asked this question, answered it by saying, when I'm chanting and I don't want to stop and I feel like I could continue chanting all day long. So, as that, in my humble opinion, is a simple definition of whether I'm chanting good japa or not, we could expand that to whether my relationship with the holy name is increasing and improving. If we're chanting and we want to continue and we can't get enough, and somehow or another we want to chant, we can't stop chanting, but yet it's not enough. We want more and more of the same thing that we're doing. we're chanting Krishna's names, and it's like the soul, me, is just wanting more and more and more and more. And yet I'm doing it. So that would be a good way if our enthusiasm and taste for chanting Krishna's names in the form of kirtan, in the form of japa, is increasing, then we know that we are moving forward.
How does Vatsalya Ras appear in Teya Kadamba?
Well, although often it is said that that the cows are in Shantaras, but it has also been said that they are in Vatsalyaras because they have a motherly feeling towards Krishna. They want to give their milk to him, just like Mother Yashoda. So that could be one answer. And of course, it's indirect, but Krishna's parents, you know, Nanda and Yashoda, are always thinking of Krishna, like His Holiness Satchinandan Swami said at the Kirtan day, that we should always be asking, where is Krishna now, and what is he doing? So definitely when Krishna's at Teya Kadamba, Nanda and Yashoda in their parental mood of care are thinking, where is Krishna and what is he doing? And they'll be thinking of him at Teya Kadamba.
Nice question and nice answer.
The holy name is the most compassionate and merciful. Then why is it so difficult to practice and get the results easily?
Hare Krishna. Your laughter shows that you have some affinity to this point of view. It is so difficult for us because we are so diseased. We cannot taste the holy name. Srila Rupa Goswami has described this problem in the Nectar of Instruction with an analogy. He said someone whose tongue is afflicted, someone who is afflicted by avidya, by ignorance, cannot taste the holy name as being sweet. And he gave an example. He said, it's just like a jaundiced patient who tastes sugar as bitter. And you may not have had any jaundice and do not know how true this example is, but those of you who had jaundice, they know when they take sugar, even rasgullas from Bengal, which are each filled with 1 ton of sugar, you taste it as bitter. Not because it's bitter, but the disease is there. So in the same way, chanting the holy name is not as pleasing, but tastes bitter for us because we are still in very much conditioned by material existence. But there is a reason why it is called most merciful, because despite of your own disqualification, the holy name is very qualified. And what it does at that initial state, when a devotee, or what he does, the holy name does, at the initial state, when the devotee is still somewhat covered by ignorance, is he removes, the name removes that ignorance. It cleanses the chetana, the consciousness, and even subconsciousness. So that's why you all made such deep advancement yesterday, because in the period or in the time when it was difficult for all of us, you know, we all had our difficult moments, but we kept on chanting despite of tasting it as oh my God, I would give a kingdom if I could go to sleep now somewhere. You know, but we kept on chanting. We kept on being strong. And the Holy Name sees this. Oh, here's my devotee. He is not yet on the level of ruchi, of taste, but he is serving me nevertheless by just doing nam seva, even when he is dry. And then the Holy Name does that mercy and purifies the diseased heart so that it's good. I would like to give you a brief example of the robber and murderer whom we now his name is Dasaratnaka. Dasaratnaka was killing people. And one day, on his murderous exploits, he went deep into the forest, and lo and behold, he meets upon Narada Muni. So he notices Narada Muni carries a precious veena, and his instincts are risen, and he wants to rob Narada Muni. But Narada Muni says, wait a minute. Before you rob, can you? For whom are you robbing? Oh, I'm maintaining a family with this. Oh, good, says Narada Muni. Just go back now to the family and ask if they are only prepared to accept from you the good thing, the articles which you rob, the objects, the wealth which you rob, or if they are also prepared to accept the bad karma which comes along with that. And then you can decide about your future. Dasaradaka says, a good question, but Yes, I will stay here and wait for you, says Narada Muni. I'm not going anywhere. I'm waiting for you. You can rob me afterwards, but okay, he believes the sadhu and goes to the family and gets the cold shoulder. When he asked them, would you also accept the bad karma for this, for robbing? The wife said, no, darling, I really didn't look for that profession. This profession of a murderer, that's what you take. And that's why you take the karma. I don't take the karma. I take the money. So Dasharatnaka is a little bit disenchanted and disillusioned, goes back and tells Narada Muni, it seems I have to carry all the karma on my own shoulders. No one, not even my son, is ready to carry some of it. Can you tell me how I do get free from all this? Yes, Narada Muni, mantra chanting. But I'm not so pious, says Dasharatnaka. What mantra can I chant? And then Narada Muni says, chant Mara. Mara is the name of death. Huh? Yamaraj, huh? It's the name of Mara. And so he goes and does this. Mara, 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 Mara. And try for yourself. When you go Mara, 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 somehow it switches in the tongue, on the tongue, and then you have to say Rama. maybe we should not chant it because it's afternoon. But maybe one of you dies when we chant it. So let us. It switches into Rama. So he was chanting Rama, and although he was a murderer, although his motivation was to only become free from karma by petitioning the god of death for some mercy, the Yamaraj, because the holy name is very qualified, it cleansed his heart, and after a sufficient amount of time, he was so clean in his heart that he could envision the pastime of Lord Rama and see that in the mirror of his heart and write the Ramayana. Do you know his name? Valmiki, you know everything. So the holy name is very qualified, although we may not be very qualified. And if we just do this Nam Seva, even in dry moments, even when it's not easy, something will happen to us. That is, we will be purified. That's the reason why you have to chant according to numerical strengths. 16 rounds, even if you don't feel like that. Chant, and after some time, you will feel, why only 16 rounds? I want to chant more rounds. Why only 64 rounds? This is not good. I need to chant more. It will come, because your heart is purified. But if you do what most Hare Krishnas do, is chant, and then you feel doesn't bring any taste, let's eat pizza now, then some more taste will come. You will never get it. You will never become spiritually advanced. You will never be purified. That's why the merciful acharyas tell us when we get initiation, you must make a commitment to chant this number of rounds, because that's your only chance to be purified, even when you are not purified. No? Do you? This is very important. Very important to note. Sorry, I'm always a little long-winded. Hare Krishna.
Sorry. I chanted 64 rounds yesterday and 32 rounds day before. I tried to chant as sincerely as possible. But yesterday, when I went to sleep, I dreamt some dream which I did not want to. I thought that after chanting so many rounds, some nice dreams with the Lord in the center would come during my sleep. So please instruct. Where did I go wrong? Did I go wrong or what?
Yes. You went wrong by expecting good dreams. Because when we chant Krishna's names to get good dreams, sometimes if he so desires, he'll give us good dreams. But when he's really kind to us, sometimes he gives us terrible dreams. And I say really kind to us because yasyaham anugrahami hadishet tadanam shunai. When I feel affection for a devotee, I will give him so many things. But when I feel real affection for a devotee, I will take everything from him. Now, don't become overly frightened by that statement. But Krishna is the best of all physicians, and he gives us just the medicine that we require. When we chant Krishna's names, what should we really be desiring? On the simplest level, we should be desiring to just hear. On a level higher than that, we should be desiring, oh Krishna, how can I serve you? How can I serve you in the form of your holy names? On levels higher than that, experiencing Krishna directly as one of the prayers that Srila Rupa Goswami placed in his Padyavali when he brought so many prayers, he said, "Oh Krishna," and he described the form of Krishna, "when will you be there? When will tears roll down my eyes when I chant your holy names?" And Mahaprabhu is also lamenting like this. So sometimes we have our little hidden desires, and it's natural for every conditioned soul to have hidden desires. And when one layer of purification, one layer is taken off, then sometimes these desires, they will come to the surface. So we can look at it as unfortunate, but we can look at it as fortunate. If I was meeting with the person who wrote that question privately, I would ask them, "Do you feel more humble now? After all that chanting, look what came up in your consciousness. Do you feel more humble now? Do you feel more qualified to be with Krishna? Or do you feel less qualified? Do you feel that you don't need mercy anymore? Or do you feel that you need still more mercy? Still more mercy?" And naturally, the answer will be, "I need so much more mercy." So then, that which occurred, was it fortunate or unfortunate? So that's how I would answer that question.
I would add, wherever there is cleaning, the dust starts to fly around.
Can you tell us more about the moment of death? Each day when we go to sleep, we go out of our bodies, so there is also a sort of death there. Please comment.
It's a very important question.
You've written a book.
Yeah.
Soon to be published, yes?
Yeah.
What is the name of that?
Life's Final Exam, Death and Dying from the Vedic Perspective. It's already been printed in America.
Oh, yeah, really?
And 3 sample copies are expected to arrive today.
Oh. 1, 2, 3, obviously.
And then we'll print in India. Well, all of our scriptures help us prepare for the time of death, because the time of death is the final exam. All of our sadhana and bhajan will be tested at the time of death, whether we can remember Krishna. And we will naturally think of the thing at the time of death to which we are most attached. And therefore, we have to increase our attachment to Krishna to the point that it's our greatest attachment. And then naturally, at the time of death, we'll think of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the parrot, that the parrot can chant Hare Krishna. But if a cat catches it and is about to devour it, it'll just go, ka, 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 ka. No more Hare Krishna. Because it was external. What was really inside the parrot came out at the time of death. So we can't hope to think of Krishna at the time of death just by externally chanting. But we have to really try to increase our attachment for Krishna. That said, as devotees of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are engaged in preaching, we do qualify for some special mercy. But of course, that also should be done with great intensity. If we do anything in a half-hearted way, we won't get much effect. But His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami was really very, you know, fully and intensely engaged in serving Srila Prabhupada and his mission. And he asked Srila Prabhupada that, you know, I'm so busy serving you, what if at the time of death I'm serving you and I'm not thinking of Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada replied, don't worry. At the time of death, Lord Chaitanya will forcibly enter your mind. So I would say that combination of ardent chanting and hearing to increase our attachment for Krishna, and also serving, as we heard last night so beautifully, the mood of Nityananda Prabhu, that will qualify us, or I would say make us eligible to receive that mercy. And as we just heard, when you go to sleep at night, you can't control your dreams. So the time of death is sort of like that. So we really have to try to cleanse our hearts and become more attached to Krishna than to anything else, so that naturally we'll think of him at the time of death.
May I add something, a practical
Please.
Point on this?
Please do.
That we die many times every day when things don't go our way. What happens? You lose something. What happens? Something is stolen from you. What happens? Someone bangs into you. It's traffic. What happens? These are minor deaths in a sense. But watch your consciousness and see where your consciousness goes for shelter when these minor, daily, hourly events take place, and see if your consciousness goes to Krishna's shelter. And if it does, your preparation for the final examination is going well. And if it doesn't, know that you have to study still more deeply.
We get a lot of pop quizzes to help us prepare for the final exam.
Pop quizzes.
It means, the teacher.
That's an American expression.
The teacher will surprise the students. They weren't told that there's going to be an exam. So the teacher will say, there's a pop quiz. Means that, like, they just like pop it on you, spring it on you, surprise you with it, without warning you in advance, to test how you've been keeping up on your studies.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
There must be a German equivalent for this.
No, I think so. Überraschungstest.
It sounds quite different from pop quiz. Okay.
Next question. How to develop deep prayerful mood?
How to develop the prayerful mood?
How to develop a deep prayerful mood?
A deep prayerful mood. I think we all agree that a prayerful mood, which comes from a humble or humbled heart, gives life to our chanting. You know, you can know whenever you are in a humble state of mind, then you can really chant. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Sadahari, the name of Hari, always comes to someone who's more humble than the straw in the street. So how to develop that deep prayerful, or I would say humble mood, from where you can pray, I would love to give you a suggestion. There is a little book by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur which is so helpful to arrive at that humble or prayerful mood. It's called Sharanagati. Sharanagati, or surrender, from where this prayer springs ultimately forth, is the life of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. No? Your body to be alive needs a good pumping heart. Your spiritual life, in order to really be alive and vibrant, needs Sharanagati, the life force of your spiritual life. No? This humble, surrendered, shelter-seeking mood. And to bring you in this place, I found out you can do this very easily if you follow the mood of some of a great personality who is in that place. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote this booklet. It's songs, actually, a song collection. He wrote that from such an advanced state of mind. So if you want to come into this deep prayerful mood, you could call it this humble mood or this mood of surrender, the reading of the Sharanagati prayers by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur will naturally bring this mood about. When you read this mood of surrender will go through your mind. No? If you read something, it affects you, no? It goes through your mind. You associate with that concept which is expressed in what you read. And in this way, by reading this, you will get to this place. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommended all his devotees to read this. And there is one particular song which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said should be sung by his disciples before they started their japa, because it is this song which brings everyone, the reader, in the humble state of mind or the prayerful state of mind. It's that song, Amara Jivana. I think I read this before to you, and it's a song where deep felt feelings of regret for one's own sad state of life is expressed, and it's highly highly influential when you read it. So please get a copy of Sharanagati on the book market. It is available. Look for the song Amara Jivana. Amara, A-M-A-R-E, Amara. No, Amare, Amara. Amara Jivana.
My life.
My life. Ooh, it's very good. That will help you. No, please, I'm serious. Please do this. If you have no money for this, you can beg from me. I will support you in getting this book. Hare Krishna, very good. I think we come now slowly into a difficult situation which we need to solve. How much time do we have? Please look at your wristwatch, Prashanta.
7 minutes, up to 10 minutes we have.
Ten minutes, good.
When we chant, we cry out to Radha and Krishna to engage us in their service. In the material world, they engage us through Sri Guru, and we get tremendous opportunities to serve. What seems to be lacking is not the service opportunity, but the service attitude. How to imbibe the correct service attitude, and how to cry out to the Holy Name for His help in this respect?
I'll answer very briefly, and then you can answer briefly, and then please, you also answer briefly. That the question itself, when we're chanting, calling out for service, is exactly the thing that cultivates the attitude for service. We're chanting, desiring service, and acting in such a way that those who we are serving are pleased. And desiring that, how can I serve you? How can I serve you? And purifying the consciousness with that desire, as opposed to keeping in the mood that everyone, every materialist has, is how can everything serve me? So the very chanting in the mood, I'm not sure who asked the question, that was suggested in the question is itself both wonderful, the goal and the cure. Would you like?
Prashanta, I will need a little help from you. The question was, because I was relaxing, I thought I have done my service on the question and answer the session, and I was a little spaced out, to be very, very open. Yes.
How to imbibe the correct service attitude, and how to cry out to the Holy Name for His help in this respect?
How to develop the proper service attitude?
He said, service we get plenty, yeah. But what is lacking is the service attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. What Bhujan Prabhu said has a psychological dimension also. He said, when you ask putting yourself in this attitude, please engage me in your service, then after some time the service attitude will come to you. Once a devotee was asking Srila Prabhupada, how do we become humble? And Prabhupada said, just act as if you are humble. And then it will come. It will take you over, so to say. It will come into you. Beyond that, I would like to say one thing, which springs from my heart. See, the right devotional attitude, which we all aspire for, is when we get this attitude, our spiritual life is so wonderful. And if we don't have this attitude, it is just so disconnected in a way. So in chanting Hare Krishna, this attitude is sometimes missing, and then we feel so disconnected. We feel so our lips are moving, but nothing else than the muscles in our lips, and they are already sore from so much movement, and soon they will close. That will happen. I would like to give you a little meditation. For every Hare Krishna, Krishna says, here I am. Hare Krishna, God, Krishna, Krishna says, yes, here I am for you. Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna, the two, not just Krishna, Radha and Krishna, here we are, Krishna, Krishna, yes, I'm here. Hare Hare, Radharani says, yes, I'm here, my dear. If you, you need to connect somehow, and this might help you, that the divine couple is aware of your chanting, and they take notice. So if you know this or think about this, then this disconnection, which is giving you so much pain in your heart, which makes your spiritual life so mechanical and so stale and so on, will go. So for every Hare Krishna, Radha Krishna says, here we are. So think like this, and then you feel connected. Because they do take notice. In the Adi Purana, Krishna says, anyone who chants my name, I put his name in my heart. It's there, you know. You may think, oh, I'm calling just Hare Krishna. But Krishna says he or she is trying. Very good. I have taken note of this person. Especially someone who sits in the holy dham. This is a verse in Hari Bhakti Vilas, should feel content in his mind and chant the holy name. This is a best sadhana. Feel content in your mind, not discontent. I'm here, and just chant the holy name, and Krishna is very, Radha and Krishna are very satisfied with you. Hare Krishna.
A few thoughts. One is that our constitutional position is to serve. And if we're not serving Krishna, we'll be forced to serve Maya. And devotees on different levels experience it, that if they lose the intensity in the mood of service to Krishna, they'll end up engaged in the service of Maya, even in the guise of serving Krishna. And that entanglement it does not have the same taste. So we can think, you know, if I'm not serving Krishna, I'll be serving Maya in some form, even in the course of devotional service, and become entangled and waste my time. The other thing is that, as Burijan Prabhu said, that when you're chanting, you're chanting to cleanse your heart. And by nature, we are eternal servants of Krishna. And so we're praying for that innate service attitude to come out. But our service, you know, in our stage generally, comes to us through guru, as the question also mentioned. But whatever guru, Srila Prabhupada, the six Goswamis, the Panchatattva, Radha and Krishna. Wonderful. We should feel grateful for what they've given us. We should feel grateful thinking where we are, where we would have been without their mercy, and where we are now, even though we're not perfect, but still where we are now. And we should feel grateful. And in that mood of gratitude, we should want to repay them. Of course, we cannot fully repay them, but we should want to repay them. And in that mood, okay, maybe this, they're asking some service, I don't really want to do it, but they've given me so much. The least I can do is try my best to serve them according to their desire. And that will help us to be in the mood of service and to feel the nectar that comes in the mood of service by their grace, all by their grace. Hare Krishna.
We can take one more question. Okay. Sometimes I feel fear in going deeper in my relationship with Krishna. What can I do to overcome this fear?
All the three of us will give an answer to this question because it's at the core of the retreat culture, you know, to go deeper in our relationship with Krishna. We should remove the fear. I think we have to ask ourselves the question, from where is this fear coming? Why are we afraid? I always think that we are afraid because we doubt that Krishna is really there. I remember I once made a journey. I was invited by an interested person in Yugoslavia, and I drove. At that time I didn't have that much to do. I drove to Yugoslavia to meet him, and I was all on the way. It was a long way, 1,000 kilometers, I think. And then when I came to the address, he was not there. So we sometimes think this, that when we go to Krishna, maybe he's not there, or he doesn't care for me, or he has really abandoned me and is not interested in the relationship. And this fear that he's there must be overcome. You must strengthen your Shraddha, your faith in Krishna. And his nature is Bhakta Vatsala, the friend of his devotees, in order to overcome that fear.
I had the same thought, but from a slightly different perspective, that we're afraid that if we go too deep in our relationship with Krishna, our relationship with material things will slacken and we may lose them. And we don't want to lose them. There was a preacher in Bombay named Mahaprabhu Das, and he was very successful in inviting people to the Juhu Temple and then giving them lunch at Govinda's restaurant and gradually engaging them. But he told me there were some people, they wouldn't come. I said, well, they don't have to come to see the deities or anything. They can just come and eat in the restaurant. He said, they won't come because they feel that this is a one-way street. And once they set foot on the temple property, they're going down that one-way street, and in the end they'll have to give up everything. So the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the holy name and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions. And I think that's really why we hesitate. And then what's His Holiness Satchinandan Swami says, sort of takes over. We have to increase our faith in the holy name and increase our faith in Krishna. That whatever shelter we're getting from material things, whatever support we're getting from them, whatever satisfaction we're getting from them, we actually can get them from Krishna. Because unless we're convinced of that, our tendency will be to hold on to them. Sort of like that story of Sanatan Goswami and the touchstone. Does everyone know that story? Yeah. It's like someone came to him for the most valuable thing, thinking in material terms, but to get the really most valuable thing, the holy name, Harinam Chintamani, he had to give up that other so-called valuable thing. And that's how it works. But if we chant persistently, Krishna helps. It can come in increments that we gradually develop our faith in Krishna and feel more certain about his love and protection, and then can gradually give up our material attachments. Or we can do it faster.
And I'll also continue with the thrust of what our Maharajas on each side of me said, that like every relationship, it develops incrementally, step by step, and as the trust between the individuals in a relationship develop by experience, then one gets more intimate and more close with that individual. Generally, that's the process. So what is the process of developing that relationship with Krishna? So very much hearing and chanting. And that should be done, as always recommended, in the association of devotees. So if we associate with devotees who have more faith and than we do, then our faith increases. And what is the nature of that association? It is hearing about Krishna. We hear about the calamitous position of the material world, but really we want to hear about Krishna. And when we hear about Krishna, the all-beautiful, all-attractive, supreme personality of Godhead, and how he deals with his beloved devotees, the heart becomes purified, and we also develop attraction for him, spontaneous, ultimately, attraction for him. And when we have spontaneous attraction for Krishna, there is no question about holding back in any way, because we will be alive in our relationship with him.
Thank you.